We see Jesus speaking about it over and over. You've been blessed to be involved. You've been blessed to be a blessing. You've been blessed to participate. You've been blessed for the battle. And you cannot tell me that God did not shed his sinless, sacred, precious blood to save your soul for you to do nothing. You cannot tell me that God filled you with the power of his Holy Spirit for you to remain inactive. You cannot tell me there's not something that God wants you to do, that there's nothing you can do, that there's not some ability, some gift, some talent, some anointing, some blessing that you can do to use that for the work of God. I'm going to read one verse to kick the message off, but I'm going to go through the entire chapter. So what that means is if you have your Bibles, you want to stay in Judges chapter 5 as I set the message up. But verse 23, let's look at it together. Curse Meroz. Everybody say Meroz. Said the angel of the Lord, curse its people bitterly. My Lord, the angel's upset. Because they did not come to help the Lord. To help the Lord against the mighty. I want you to get the picture here. The picture is one of a battle. And Deborah is painting the picture of this battle by singing a song. And as you go through the verses of the song, she's helping us catch a glimpse of how when God goes into a battle, how creation is to respond. How the people of God are to respond. And so I want to talk to you on that final verse, curse Meroz, but really I want to talk to you about how you have been blessed for the battle. You've been blessed to be involved. You've been blessed to participate. You've not been blessed in the way that you have for ease. You've not been blessed in the way that you have for your comfort. You have been blessed for the battle. God anticipates his people's involvement. He anticipates our ready response when he wants to do something. He expects us, according to verse 2 of that chapter, to willingly offer ourselves. The Bible goes on to say that not only did people say they wanted to be involved, but you find here that even the earth begin to tremble. It was as if the earth had ears and listened down to God saying, I'm going into a battle. And even the earth began to say to itself, I can't grab a spear and I can't grab a sword. I can't shoot an arrow. But somehow, some way, I want to get involved. And so maybe I could shake and that would help God in his battle. The night sky began to cover the sun. It was as if the sun would say in the same way that the earth did, I don't have any military ability, but what I can do is I can turn myself off. And if God's enemy needs light, I can make sure that the lights are off and his enemy has to fight in the dark. The clouds watch the sun go dark. They watch the earth begin to tremble. And the clouds begin to say, surely there's something I can do to help God in the battle. Surely there's something I can do to play a part. I'm just a cloud, but what I can do is I can begin to drop water onto the earth. And it could be that if enough water drops, there will be pools of mud. And when the enemy tries to find its footing, maybe it will be unable to do so, and I can help God in the battle. The Bible says the mountains begin to melt. I don't know if this was an earthquake or a mudslide or maybe a rock or boulder crashing down. I don't know exactly what it is, but even the mountain began to take note of how all of God's creation wanted to get involved. So even the mountain said, I'm not going to allow there to be a place for the enemy of God to hide in these mountains. The governors of Israel willingly offered themselves. Deborah begins to sing a song.
It was as if Deborah would say, God's in a battle, and because of who I am, I'm not trained to be a soldier. I'm not violent in nature, but maybe I can sing a song, and that song would help God in his battle. Zebulon, who had the pen of a writer, begins to say, maybe I can take notes. Zebulon was a tribe that was clerical. They weren't a military tribe, but they could take notes, and they said, that's what we'll do to get involved in the battle. Barak was sent on foot. Naphtali jeopardized their lives unto death because God was in a battle. They said, we're going to get involved in the battle. Kings from the earth began to gather around and took no gain for themselves. They just wanted to be involved in the battle. The stars in heaven begin to move. So if the enemy needed direction, needed to know where to go, the stars even begin to move in their places to confuse the enemy so the enemy could not have direction. All of this begins to happen because the creation as we know it was wanting to help God in the battle. The river Kishon watches the sun and watches the mountains melt and watches the earth tremble and watches the sun go dark and says, surely I can do something. And maybe what I could do is when the enemies walk down to my shores and the banks to drink water, what I'll do is I'll swell, and the swell of the banks will wash the enemy down the river, and they'll be unable to be in the battle because of my desire to participate in the battle. It then says that the horses begin to prance. It was like even horses knew, I can't get a spear and I can't lift a shield. There's nothing I can do in that way. But what I can do is I can get the enemy beneath my feet and I can begin to stomp on the enemy and help God in his battles. You see, what we learn is it's not that God needs the horse. It's not that he needs the mountains. It's not that he needs the sun. He doesn't need any of that to assist him in his battle. But he involves us because through involving us, he blesses us. And we have to learn that we've not been blessed to sit back and watch and sit back and spectate. We've been blessed to be involved. We've been blessed to participate. We've been blessed for the battle. In Judges chapter 5, verse 23, we read it. The angel of the Lord is looking down and seeing all that's happening. And he sees the city of Meraz and the people and the inhabitants of that city. And he says, curse Meraz, curse its people bitterly, because they came not to help the Lord or to help the Lord against the mighty. In other words, while the women were singing and the horses are stomping and the mountains are melting and the rivers are washing people away and the stars are moving, as people are walking to the battle, as other people were putting their very lives on the line, the people there in this tribe called Meraz seemed to sit back and were unwilling to participate. They had their hands in their pockets saying, we don't desire to get involved. And the angel of the Lord spotted these people, watched these people, and he said, curse Meraz, curse these people. There's something about the blessing that they don't understand. There's something about what I've done for them that they don't understand. Commentaries would say that this city was located next to the battlefield. They were very close to the battle. So if the battle was won, these people would benefit the most from it. If the battle was lost, these people would suffer the most. But yet, even though they were the ones who were really in the heart of the battle, they seemed disinterested to get involved. They seemed like there was no reason or purpose for them to get involved. These same people, according to the Hebrew, this place Meraz means a place of costliness. The Greek means anointed with costly oil. So this is not an ordinary place. Meraz is a costly place. This is an anointed place. This is a place that a great price was paid for them to have the blessing that they have. Yet the people that occupied this place, their attitude was, someone else can pay the price. Someone else can fight the battle. Someone else can put the effort in. Someone else can do their part. We could care less about doing anything ourselves. And the angel of the Lord said, that kind of mindset is cursed. The anointing you've received, Miraz, is for service. The blessing you've received is for service. Everything I've done for you is for service. And a curse is not some form of black magic. A curse means to make small, to make insignificant. And what happens to so many people is they believe the lie that they don't matter. They believe the lie that they're insignificant. They believe the lie that they can't do something great for God. And the truth of the matter is, you've been blessed for the battle. You've been blessed to be involved. And you cannot misuse the blessing. You can't abuse the blessing. How do you misuse it? Through inactivity. Through your hands being in your pocket. No one in this room should ever be under the curse of Miraz. We're in a battle. We're in a spiritual battle. Our families are under attack. If your family has not been under attack in some way, you are the rare exception. This next generation is under attack. And what I'm here to try to tell you is, no one should be standing by with their hands in their pockets, because God is in a battle. And you've been blessed to be involved in the battle. Matthew 12 and verse 30, Jesus said, "He who is not with me is against me." Pretty strong, isn't it? Jesus said that. Then he goes on to say, "He who does not gather with me scatters." Matthew 25, the parable of the talent. Jesus looks at this servant and he calls him wicked, unprofitable, and slothful. He says to this wicked servant, "You're going to be thrown into outer darkness where there's weeping and gnashing of teeth." This is Jesus speaking, and it's pretty dramatic, don't you think? And he's not thrown into outer darkness because he doesn't have 10 talents. And he's not thrown into where there's gnashing of teeth because he doesn't have 5 talents. And he's not in this place of complete and total darkness because he doesn't have 2 talents. He's in this place because the talent that he has, he does nothing with it. He did nothing with what he was given. And the point is, the curse of Miraz is not an Old Testament principle. We see Jesus speaking about it over and over. You've been blessed to be involved. You've been blessed to be a blessing. You've been blessed to participate. You've been blessed for the battle. And you cannot tell me that God did not shed his sinless, sacred, precious blood to save your soul for you to do nothing. You cannot tell me that God filled you with the power of his Holy Spirit for you to remain inactive. You cannot tell me there's not something that God wants you to do, that there's nothing you can do, that there's not some ability, some gift, some talent, some anointing, some blessing that you can do to use that for the work of God. You've been blessed for the battle. Ephesians 6 talks about the armor of God. Not so you can look at it. It's not an aesthetic. It says you put it on with anticipation that God is in a battle and I want to be on the Lord's side. Perhaps one of the most confusing scriptures you can read is in Gethsemane. The Bible says there was a group of people in chapter 27, verse 36, that were sitting down, and it says they watched him there. So Jesus is bleeding. He's burdened. He's collapsed under the weight of the cross that he's about to carry. And there's a group of people that are there, and they've not nailed his hands or his feet. They've not pierced his side. They've not beat him. They've not used that jagged whip to rip his back open. They've done none of that. They sat down and they watched him there. That's the curse of Miraz. Sitting, watching, inactivity. David came to a battlefield. His oldest brother, Eliab, looks at him and says, "I know the wickedness in your heart, that you've come only to watch." In other words, his brother says, it's wicked if all you do is come to watch. If all you do is believe that your appearance of support is enough. No, there's something more that God was looking for. And of course, we know that he was wrong about David, that David did not come to watch the battle. David came to win the battle. David did not come to see the battle. He came to stop the battle. And if you are in the house of God, if you are a child of God, you are also engaged in a battle. The devil is not neutral. The devil is not going to sit back, take the day off. He doesn't sleep. He doesn't take vacations. He doesn't take a day off. He never ceases, never stops to accomplish his mission, and that is to do anything he can to steal, kill, and destroy. And there's only one thing standing in between the enemy and his desire to destroy this planet, destroy the human race, destroy everything that we're about, and that is the people of God saying, not while we're here, not on our watch, not on our hour, we will get in the battle. Someone shout, I'm on the Lord's side. I've been blessed to be in the battle.
Mark 14 and verse 8. A woman breaks open this box of expensive ointment and perfume. She immediately met criticism, and Jesus stood up himself and defended her. And these were his astounding words: because she hath done what she could. This woman's moment will be told as a memorial to her, to future generations, not because what she did was spectacular or gigantic or impressive. No, she did what she could. And the Lord said, I am pleased because she did what she could. I don't believe this city would ever be the same if we could break the stereotype of 80% of the people setting back and letting 20% of the people do the work. If we would just say, not here, not this is not Mirage. We've been anointed. God's blessed us, and he's blessed us with a purpose, and not them, and not they, and not those over there, me. I am here, and I want to be involved. Put me in the battle. Put me to work. Give me something I can do. We would change this city. We would shake our world if we would simply say, I want to help. I want to do something. So the curse came on inactivity, an unwillingness to be involved. So the blessing comes on an attitude that says, I'll do it. I'll help. I'll go. Why not? Of course, sure. Why would I not do something? I mean, I see that the sun can play its part, and I see the mountains can play their part. I see the river can do its part. I see the oceans can. I see all that. Surely, my answer is going to be I'll find something to do. If a cloud, a soft little floaty cloud, can find something to do, I can find something of weight to do. One of the greatest ways to see the blessing come into your life is to stop the cursing. Stop the inactivity. Stop the negative reasons on why you can't. And just say, there's something I can do. There is a gift. There is something I can bring to the table. 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 10 says, you're called to inherit a blessing. In other words, we are called to be people that bring blessing everywhere we go. That's what we're called to do. We bless people. The Bible even says we bless our enemies. Even our enemies, we bless them. That's what we're gifted to do. We're just gifted to be a blessing. We bless children. We bless the next generation. We bless situations, futures, marriages, time, by the way we use it, by the way we use other people's time. We bless stuff. That's land. That's homes. That's our finances. It's just stuff, but it's different when the blessing of God is on it. We bless God through our obedience, through our worship, through our praise. We join with the angels of heaven and do what? We give blessing and honor and glory to him who lives forever and ever. Amen. We're called to be people of blessing wherever we go. And the lie is that when you become a Christian, that Jesus took on the curse. That's the lie. When you become a Christian, you receive salvation through receiving forgiveness, right? Not because he died. That's the part that he's done. You just receive what he's done. You don't have to do anything, but you have to receive the forgiveness. That's called repentance. That's called turning from your old life, turning towards the new life. He took on your shame. But a lot of Christians walk around in shame, do they not? Because they haven't learned that on the cross, Jesus not only took their sin, not only does he want to give you forgiveness, but he wants to free you from any shame, any guilt from your old life. He wants to cleanse you and wash you and let you know that you're his beloved, that you're his sons, his daughter, so that he's forgotten that. He does not hold that against you. He's got a brand new life and purpose and future for you. But Christians walk around in shame. Jesus died for them, so they don't carry the shame, but they still carry it. So you always have to come to the cross, and you have to receive the benefit of what Jesus paid for you to have. You have to receive it. And Jesus did not die on the cross so you and I could walk around cursed. The Bible says, cursed is any man who hangs on the tree. So Jesus took on our curses. That's what iniquity means, generational curses. You're not to walk around with the curse of Meraz, the curse of inactivity, the curse of helplessness, the curse of idleness, the curse of apathy and complacency. That's not, as a child of God, that curse has to be broken. And the same way that you receive forgiveness of sins, you have to ask God to break the curse off of your life. And you have to be honest with God about the curse like you are the sin. I need you to forgive me of my sin, free me from my shame, and I also need you to break every curse off of my life. You didn't die for me to be small. You didn't die for me to be insignificant. You didn't die for me to spectate and watch. You died so I could be blessed to be in the battle. Whatever you're doing, God, I want to be a part of it. I've been blessed to be a part of it.
I'm trusting that that message spoke to each and every one of you today. And I want to say thank you to so many of you that have been remarkable in your love and support to us over this last season. I want to take just a moment and share something very important with you. As many of you have probably figured out, we're brand new to TV ministry. We're brand new, but we're not unproven. For 20 years, we've been church builders and soul winners. And we believe that God has opened this brand new TV door to us. Last night I was reading in 2 Corinthians, and it talks about how there was conflict on the outside and fears within. I can relate to that when it comes to this. What it takes to pull this off, I've learned, is very serious. There's conflict on the outside, and there's fear within. Like so many things that the Lord asks us to do, most of the time we're just naive enough to give God our yes in the beginning. Yes, I'll go. Yeah, God, send me. And then after it, you realize I'm pretty clueless. And that's what this ministry has been like. This ministry is just being born in its early stages. Like a child, a ministry takes a village to raise it. It takes a village to raise a ministry. I'd love to say I can do this on my own, but I can't. More importantly, God doesn't ask me to. So today and over this next season, I'm asking God to pull together a village that will surround this childlike ministry. And as with a child, all that's within the child is only discovered with what time? Some look down on children, some dismiss children, some even hinder them. Why? Because they don't think that they're quite where they need to be yet to get their attention. But Jesus said to his disciples, "Hinder not the little children from coming to me." A child needs someone to see the possibility and bring that possibility out. And I believe that's what God's wanting to pull together today. A people with a nurturing, protective, pioneering spirit saying, "I'll partner with you. I'll be a part of this village of godparents, spiritual aunts and uncles and cousins," saying, "We see the potential. It's not full grown yet, but we see the possibility, and I'll help you raise it." So what does this look like for you? First, like we did, just give God your yes. Yes, I'll go, and yes, I'll grow. Next, participate every single week by just watching, inviting friends. If a message speaks to you, tell somebody about it. Give in prayer. Ask God to anoint the messages. Ask God to anoint the programs. Ask God to give us favor and protect us where He wants us, concerning where He wants us to go. And then finally, not most important, but very important, is partner with us by giving, sowing, and investing financially. I can tell you when you do that, that you're not giving to me and you're not giving to salaries. 100% of your gift goes to continuing and expanding preaching the gospel through this platform. And so I'm just simply saying, not to listen to me, but to ask God to pray and obey what He tells you to do. Let me pray for you. Father, in Jesus' name, thank You for this great village that You're raising up, a village of people full of faith that see the possibilities, a group of pioneers who say ahead of time, before it's full grown, in the brand new early days, we're going to, with eyes of vision and faith, see that You're going to do something very special. And we thank You in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you guys. We'll see you next time. You love me back to life every single time. In Your presence I'm alive, because of Your mercy, because You are kind. You love me back to life. Oh, oh, oh.
Just once more with the voice. You love me back to life.